Let me start by encouraging us from Psalm 103. It's a great psalm, and it's the Psalm of David. And just let me read the first few verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And the psalm goes on and talks about how great God is and all the wonderful things he has done. But the important thing is we gather together this morning, and yes, we're all in different locations and that's fine, but we come together to praise the Lord together and to remember all of his goodness to us, and in particular that he forgives us of our sins, that God shows his love and compassion to us. And this morning we're going to be looking at how that works itself out in the life of the Thessalonian church. But in the meantime, it's our focus that we come together to praise the Lord and to remember who he is and what he has done for us. So on that note, I'm going to hand over to Amy, and we're going to have a song or a hymn, and I'll let Amy explain it.
So we're going to sing a bit of Psalm 139 today. And that's because Craig's going to be preaching on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. And part of that is about the amazing truth that we are chosen by God and that we are loved by God. And those are two of the themes which come out strongly in Psalm 139. So this is a bit of a Scottish band that have put Psalm 139 to music. So here we go.
We're right across from land to land and sail afar by sea. Descend the depths or climb the heights, my Lord remains with me. Before the blood ran in these veins, the days ordained for me were written in your book, O Lord, before I came to be.
Okay. I'm going to, and Amy fixed the screen over. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Here we go. So let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can take this time just to sit and reflect on who you are. Father, that you are the Lord of the universe, that you control all things in this planet. And yet you know so much about us. We thank you that you love each one of us individually and that your love for each one of us is great. That, Lord, you are concerned about the things that are happening in our life, that you know everything about us, what time we got up this morning, what we had for breakfast. And, Father, it blows our minds to think that the God of the universe knows that much about us as individuals. Lord, as we reflected on that psalm that we've just heard sung, Lord, you do know everything about us. You know our anxious thoughts. You know when we're happy and when we're sad, when we rejoice and, Father, when we despair. And, Lord, we know there is nowhere that we can run to go away from you, but you gently keep coming to us and calling us and loving us. Father, forgive our sins. Search our hearts, we pray this morning, for anything that may be in our hearts that is displeasing to you, that we know is wrong. And we thank you that you do offer forgiveness for when we mistreat you and we do not do as you call us to do. Father, we are sorry for the way that we act towards you. Lord, we realize that so often we do ignore your goodness. Father, we don't stand up for you, and sometimes we're even ashamed to be associated with you. So, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us this morning, that you'd continue to have mercy on us, and that you continue to pour your grace upon our lives. Father, we thank you that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. We thank you this morning that you always work good in our lives, even when we don't necessarily see that, or even when we find that painful. We thank you that you are still working in our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can have together this morning, to gather together as your people, to gather around your word, to be able to pray to you, to sing to you. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you might speak to us as we gather around your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray and ask these things. Amen. We're going to read from the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles in front of you, you might like to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 7. So there's going to be two readings this morning, three actually. We're going to do two now, one later. So the two readings are Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 11, 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 12. Neil and Jenny are going to read that for us. And if you're following on the computer screen, the readings will come up on the screen. So Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 11, and we'll hand over to Neil and Jenny.
For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay, to their faces those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. And from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be afraid to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, and an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day.
Thanks, Neil and Jenny. We have some announcements now. So just a few announcements. So a reminder about staying connected. Ladies Bible study will be on tomorrow at 2 o'clock, on Tuesday at 7:30. Our youth group, we're meeting online at 7:30 on Fridays. I have heard the call for a men's group. Men, we've been a bit slack, and I am working on something, and we'll try and get something off the ground shortly for the men. So just watch that space. Next slide. Now, if were in Henty, you're on Creek or Borey Creek during the week, you should have got something that looks like this in your letterbox. If you're in Lockhart, you should get one on Monday, all things being equal. And hopefully if you're in Culcairn or The Rock, you'll get one sometime later this week or early next week. We've decided we need to work really hard at trying to connect with people. And a lot of churches have sort of gone underground and sort of almost to a dead point, but we believe that we are alive and resurrected, and we want to let people know about that. So we just ask you also just to pray that as people pick up these cards that they would get in contact with us or would want to connect up. There's people probably out there who are a bit isolated and this is a way they can connect in with us, but also just let people know that we're still alive, that we're still meeting together. So look out for that during the week as well. Now, during the week, I got an email. Vanuatu is an interesting place because, as I found out last night, they have zero cases of coronavirus to the point where they're playing their league cricket match and it's going to be broadcast all over the world as the only sport on TV this afternoon. But what happened was there was a cyclone, Harold, that went through about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And during the week, we received news that our training college, our Presbyterian training college in Vanuatu, has been flattened. If you're on the screen there, that's a picture from Tolua, which is our college over there. And there's a number of houses and what have you that have been flattened. The places, the cyclone was immense and it destroyed everything. It's kind of got lost in the coronavirus epidemic that's kind of sweeping the world. Anyway, our denomination has decided to go for a disaster relief appeal to help rebuild our training college in Vanuatu. Colleges are really important for denominations because they train the next bunch of ministers. And we've been investing in over there for 30 years and a cyclone has almost sort of wrecked 30 years of ministry. Not to mention other people on the island over there who are without a home and all that sort of thing. So when the email comes out, this week, there'll be some details about how you can give to that. There'll be a video link that you can actually go and watch the video. We didn't play it today because it's not the best quality, especially for people on the phone. But we're just raising the profile of this because we really want to rebuild Tadua, and we really appreciate your prayers as well. And we're praying about that later. Okay. So speaking of prayer, it's my privilege this morning to lead us into prayer, and to pray about some of those things that we just talked about in the announcement. So let's spend some time praying. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there's so much happening in our world at the moment, and we thank you that none of it escapes your notice, that indeed you have ordained some of these things for all time to happen. And so we thank you that we can trust you, the sovereign Lord of the universe, the God who is in control. And Father, we look to you, even though some of the things that are happening in our world, they concern us. And so we want to bring these things before you this morning. We pray particularly for coronavirus as it continues to sweep the world. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, friends, and family as a result of this virus. We pray for those who have lost their job because of the circumstances and the lockdown laws. Father, we know that the virus, even if we don't physically have it, the restrictions affect many people in various and different ways all around the world. And we pray that this time people would find hope, not in the things of this world, but turning to you, the living God, and trusting in you. Father, we pray for governments around the world. We particularly pray for our government as they consider relaxing the rules and the restrictions that are in place. Father, continue to give our government great wisdom as they manage the response to this. We thank you that we're in a country that has been relatively unaffected compared to a number of other parts of the world. And we pray for those who are treating people. Father, keep them safe. We thank you for healthcare, particularly in this country as well. We pray for those on the front line fighting this virus as well. Father, we pray this morning for the people of Vanuatu, and Father, particularly as they recover from this cyclone. Father, we pray that they would not be forgotten, and we pray that relief and aid and all those sorts of things would be able to move and to move quickly in there to rebuild parts of the country that are affected by this. We pray particularly for our training college at Tulua, that they would be able to rebuild, that they have the materials to rebuild. Pray for the students that they might somehow be able to continue to learn and to be trained for ministry. We pray for the church over there that you might strengthen them at this time, and it might be a time where they can evangelize and do great things for the gospel. And so we commit that to you as well. Father, we pray also too for our advertising campaign. Father, we pray that as people get the flyers during the week, that people would pick them up and want to connect with us. And be encouraged to come and join us. Father, we pray your sovereign hand over each flyer and each letterbox that it goes into as well. Lord, in this time, we also reflect, given that it was Anzac Day yesterday. Father, Anzac Day reminds us of service and sacrifice and death. And Father, it's hard not to think about the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice for us, costly sacrifice, and through the death that he died for us. Father, we do thank you for those who have served and given their life in the cause of freedom for our country. And we pray this morning for our armed forces here and overseas. Be with them and protect them. We pray for chaplains throughout our armed forces as they bring the good news of Jesus to our armed forces. Father, be with them and guide them in their work as well. Father, we do pray that people would realise that war is not the answer to solving conflicts, but, Father, humility and peace are things that you desire. And we pray, Lord, particularly for those countries that are at war, that there would be peace, that people would put down their arms. And more importantly, Lord, that people would realise that they need to make peace with you. We thank you that, as Romans tells us, that we can have peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And Father, finally, for each of us has different concerns. We pray for those in our congregation who are struggling with health or supporting our loved ones. Father, at this time, there are many things that concern each one of us at an individual level. And we pray that you help us not to be anxious, but, Father, to commit them to you, to know that you are a God who hears prayer and is more than willing to answer. Forgive us for times where we don't take things to you in prayer, where we don't seek your guidance and your comfort. But, Lord, we just bring these things before you now, things that are on our hearts and other things that we haven't prayed for. And we lay them all at your feet, knowing that you are the God of the universe, a good God, who graciously gives your people all things. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles there, you might like to open up to our passage this morning, which is 1 Thessalonians 1, 1-10, and Jenny's going to read that for us.
Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember you before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord when you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, let me just pray before we open God's word together. Father, just pray that as we open your word now, that you might speak to us, that you might teach us, give us the humility we need before your word, and show us how to apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Fritz Kreisler, born in 1875, died in 1962. He was a world-famous violinist, and he earned a fortune with his concerts and compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. Later, having raised enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller, hoping to purchase his beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. The collector said it had become his prized possession and he would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. "Could I play the instrument once more before it's consigned to silence?" he asked. Permission was granted, and the great violinist filled the room with heart-moving music that the collector's emotions became deeply stirred. "I have no right to keep that to myself," he exclaims. "It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let people hear it." The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for forgiveness of sin and was resurrected for eternal life, this message is something that is valuable and precious. The gospel is something that is sweet music to a believer's ear. And the gospel is something precious that should not be kept for ourselves, but to be shared with others. And what we see in our passage this morning is a working out of these things in the life of the Thessalonian church. Now, last week we began our series on 1 Thessalonians. You may remember I talked about how Paul was writing to this church in Thessalonica from his current location, which was at Corinth, and therefore he was actually trying to be a pastor from afar. He'd arrived in Thessalonica as part of his missionary journey, but he was forced to head down to Berea. As we saw last week, Paul's heart was for the gospel of grace and peace. And Paul is deeply thankful for the Thessalonians' faith, for their hope and their love that has been developing inside of them despite the sufferings and persecutions. Paul says to them in verse 4, "We know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you." Paul wants to make very clear to the Thessalonians and to us that they have faith, hope, and love for one reason and one reason alone: God has chosen them. Now, every 3 to 4 years, our citizens of Australia, they get to elect or to choose who they want to be their leader. They try and convince us that they are the most worthy to be elected to office. Or probably in a lot of cases that they are more worthy than other candidates, even if they themselves are not exactly worthy. But this is not the same with God. God's choice of the Thessalonians was not because they are worthy, but because he loved them. We would never want to say that God's choice of these Thessalonians was based on their faith or their hope or their love. Why? Because they were imperfect. And besides, such an approach turns grace into works. It becomes about merit rather than grace. Now, the concept of election, it doesn't sit comfortably with a lot of people. But we need to understand election in terms of what the rest of the scripture teaches, not just this particular passage. And a critical passage is found in the Old Testament, which is one we read this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 7, where God states that he chose his people, the nation of Israel. God chose Israel to be his people, to be a special people, a treasured possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all at Mount Sinai. So was there anything about the Israelites that would cause God to choose them? Certainly not. It was all God's grace. God has set his love upon them simply because he loved them, and he made promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the Apostle John says, "We love God because he first loved us." And similarly, the Thessalonians, who were mostly non-Jewish people, by the way, they were chosen because God loved them. The people in Thessalonica, they're not great. They weren't great in number. They weren't necessarily great people of the city. But God chose them because he loved them. So how does God carry out this choosing? How does God call people to himself? Well, let's think about how he did that with the Thessalonians. And there are three important things that happened to the Thessalonians which led them to receive the gospel and to become believers. The first is in verse 5, where Paul says, "Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." First step was the gospel came to the Thessalonians. The first step in anyone coming to faith is that the word of God comes to them. Gospel ministry is all about ministry in word. The word of God is spoken to people. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, as Paul says in Romans. But Paul also says in the end part of verse 5 there, you know how we lived among you for your sake. And it resulted in the Thessalonians becoming imitators of Paul and the Lord, as he says in the first part of verse 6. So what sort of life did Paul live among the Thessalonians? Did Paul come along and give them the principles for a successful Christian life? Or 6 goals for Christian happiness? What were the Thessalonians called to imitate? Well, the answer comes from what we saw last week in Acts 17, the passage that informs us about Paul's time in Thessalonica. Luke tells us that this is his custom. He went pulling down the synagogue, and 3 Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures. And Paul explained and proved that Jesus had to suffer and rise from the dead. And he said, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. So Paul taught the message of the gospel and people believed it. Others were not persuaded and started causing trouble. And they shouted out that these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. Can you hear the message that the rebels are preaching? Look to Caesar. He will give you peace and prosperity. He will bring you happiness. He will protect you and guard you. If you follow him and trust him, everything will go well. But Paul preached a different message, the gospel, that Jesus is the true king. And he proves it by coming back to life on the third day. He is the one you should follow. Now, it says there in verse 5 that the gospel came with deep conviction. And at first glance, we could take that to mean that the message of the gospel came with conviction, but so overwhelmed the Thessalonians, they felt absolutely convicted of their sin and need for a saviour. Now, while that's what actually occurred, it's actually better to read conviction in this context in terms of Paul's conviction, that Paul's message was proclaimed with conviction because of what he believed. Paul spoke with boldness and confidence to the Thessalonians because of his belief in the gospel. So why is it then that some believed Paul's message and others railed against it? Well, let me put the question another way. You talk to 2 people about Jesus. They both hear the same message. Why does one ignore the message and the other one repent? Well, an excellent illustration of this is the parable of the sower. The sower sows the word, but the seed lands in all different areas, and only one type of soil goes on to produce fruit. Why is that the case? Well, the answer is what theologians speak about when they use the terms general call and effectual call of the gospel. General call refers to the preaching of the gospel. Without a general call, nobody can be saved. Yet it's not sufficient to bring people to salvation. Because of our sin, no one is able to respond to a call that is word only, as verse 5 tells us. What is needed, as verse 5 tells us, is the power of the Holy Spirit, which brings about conversion. The power that Paul talks about here is the ability to bring dead sinners back to life. It's the power to melt the concrete heart of a sinner and soften it to receive the word of God. This is what is called the effectual call of the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit who applies Christ's salvation to the sinner to deliver them from the bondage of sin. Through the work of the Spirit, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If the Holy Spirit has not been at work in a person, then the seed of the gospel never takes root. Now, a good example of this and how it works out is the story of Lydia. Now, we read about Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Just before Paul came to Thessalonica, he was in Philippi. He arrived and he and his companions on the Sabbath day, they went outside the city gate down to the river where they expected to find a place for prayer. And we're told that we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. And she was a worshipper of God. And we're told there that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Paul spoke the word to Lydia. He spoke the gospel, but it was the Holy Spirit who opened her heart to respond to the message. That is how people are saved. So while we need to keep speaking the gospel to people, we need to keep praying that God by his Spirit will be working in people's lives. Once the word is heard, the Holy Spirit goes to work. Pardon me. And all that is left is for people to receive. And that's what happened to the Thessalonians. We see there in verse 6, Paul says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Despite the Thessalonians' suffering, despite the trials they were enduring, by the power of the Spirit, the gospel managed to cut through, and the Thessalonians welcomed the message with joy. Why did they respond with joy? Well, the gospel message is good news. The Holy Spirit helped them to see beyond their trials and present suffering to future deliverance, that they were destined to face the wrath of God. But he has rescued them from that. And so their attitude was one of joy. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., he was a member of the U.S. Supreme Court for 30 years. His mind and wit and work, he earned him the unofficial title of the greatest justice since John Marshall. At one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his choice of career by saying, quote, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Our joy as Christians is found in and through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in grace and love he chose us to be his people, that he sent people to tell the message to us, and by the power of his Holy Spirit brought us to dependence and faith on his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he fills our hearts with joy in knowing him and knowing that he rescues us from the coming wrath. All praise and honour and glory to him. So let us not become gloomy, but rather be joyful. Let us not be fearful, but trusting. And let us, like the Thessalonians, respond with obedience and change lives. But we'll look at more of that next week. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of your grace, that you love people like us, people with faults, people who sin, people who do wrong. Father, we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you loved us enough to send the Lord Jesus, and we thank you loved us enough to send someone to tell us the gospel so that we can come and put our faith and trust in him. Father, we pray this morning that you might help us to be joyful always, to not be fearful, but to trust, and to live lives in obedience to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to sing. And we're going to sing a hymn, Love Divine or Love Excelling. If you're on the phone, you've got your hymn book in front of you. If you'd like to turn up to page 20 of the songbook, you'll find the words to the song so you can sing along. For those of you who are on the computer, you'll see the words come up on the screen. So I'm just going to hand over to Amy. And Amy, we're in your hands.
Love divine, all loves it. us all thy life receive, suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessed, serve thee as thy host above, pray and praise thee without ceasing.
Words and things to ponder in that hymn. So as we close our time, what's going to happen is a bit like last week. If you're in Lockhart, we're going to have a little chat session together. So if you're on the phone, just hang on the phone. Amy will transfer you and we'll go off into cyberspace and have a bit of a chat. For the rest of you, there's breakout rooms available, and Amy's got the kids talk with Colin Buchanan for our kids, if you want to be a part of that as well. And thank you for making the effort to come this morning, and we'll be back online at 10:30 next Sunday. Let me leave you with a few words right at the end of Paul's letter to 1 Thessalonians as we've been studying. He says this, he says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Okay, I'm just going to hand over to Amy, who's going to control certain things from this point. So, Amy, we're in your hands.
It's going to take me a little bit of time to assign everybody to, because there's a lot of people here. So give me a couple of minutes, maybe a minute, and we'll see how we go. So Craig, do you want to just explain that we're doing two breakout rooms rather than one?
Yep. So Lockhart, we're going off to a separate room, and some of you in Henty, you're going off into another room. So for the Henty people, you should see something come up on your screen that says, "Yes, I want to join a breakout group." So click yes. If you're on the phone from Henty, you will just be assigned automatically. You don't have to do anything. And the people in your group will just talk to you, so they let you know you're there, so you're not there by yourself in cyberspace. So that's how it all kind of works. All right, Amy, how are you going?
Just to explain how I'm doing this. So we're just trying this week. Happy to hear feedback. So everyone from Lockhart will go to a Lockhart room. Everybody who does not have any youth or children will go to a Henty room. And everybody who has youth or children will stay here for the kids talk. That's what we're going to try this week. We'll try something different next week. So I'm going to unmute everybody so that people can talk to each other in the breakout room. And then I'm going to say goodbye to people in breakout rooms. Bye-bye.
So are we on? Yeah, but are we on mute?
No, you're not on mute. Okay, so various people have disappeared. And hopefully I didn't accidentally make anyone disappear who wanted the... Okay, I think we're going well. Okay, so now I'm going to do the Colin Buchanan kids talk, and then all the families with young people and kids can have a chat.
Stand between mum and dad.
And I'm going to try to figure out how to mute everybody for the kids talk. Let's just get it going and then I'll mute everyone.
G'day, I'm Colin. I've just been doing some drawing here because I'm thinking of a word and I've drawn some hints for the word, and I wonder if you can guess what the word is. I'll give you a couple of hints first. The word is a food, and it's a bit of a treat, this food, and you keep it in the freezer. No guesses till you see my pictures. All right, here we go. Now that is the first part of the word. That's an eye, yes. And this is the second part. This is a guy I drew, and he's screaming. So that's a scream. So it's I scream, I scream, ice cream. That's the word, ice cream. Yes, ice cream, you scream, everybody scream. Right. Okay. I'd like some ice cream. Not now. All right, I've got another one here. Let me show you. That's another picture I drew. It's a picture of a dog, right? And the dog's not happy. It's a bit angry, and it's saying grrr. And the second, haven't drawn the second part. Need my pen. All right, the second part, it's a number, and it's not number 5, and it's not number 6, and it's not number 7. It is number 8. All right, so the word is grrr, 8, grrr, 8, great, grrr, great. That's the word. Yes, you got it. You might like to make up some puzzles like this as well. But, you know, we say a lot of things are great, don't we? We say, that dinner, it was great. Or maybe we say, you might have heard someone say, oh, what a great cup of tea. What else is great? Oh, a game. Yes, yes, what a great game. Or, that's very nice. You've cleaned up your room. Great job. We use great a lot, don't we? And we use great to talk about God. Let's have a look at God's word, the Bible, and Psalm 145, verse 3. This is what it says. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. God is so great. His greatness is unsearchable. It means no one can see the end of God's greatness. No one can know God's greatness completely. God is so great. And King David, who wrote this psalm, it's like a song, he goes on to say, I could sing and think about and talk about God's greatness forever and ever, because God's greatness is our forever and ever greatness. Now, all God is, and all God does, and all God says is great. And you know, the Bible says the Word of God is living and active. Because God is alive, His Word is alive. God speaks to us today through His Word. And that means when we're worried or scared or we're not sure what to do or where to go, what to do next, God speaks through His Word. His Word is alive because God is alive. All right, I want to sing a song about how great God is, and it's got a countdown. So I wonder if you know it. It's called 10, 9, 8, God is great. Maybe you know it. All right. I'm going to do a countdown, then we'll start the song. Ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off! Here we go. 10, 9, 8. God is great. Clap, 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 clap. 7, 6, 5. God's alive. There's a clap. It's hard to play guitar and clap. That's in there. 4, 3, 2, 1. He's the king of everyone because God's the mighty, mighty Lord of all. Again, 10, 9, 8. 10, 9, 8. God is great. Come on. Clap, 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 clap. Yeah. 7, 6, 5. God's alive. Clap, 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 clap. Yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1. He's the king of everyone because God's the mighty, mighty Lord of all. Here's the echo. Ready? I'll do it first. Here we go. 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8, 7, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off! Oh, let's start again, Ray. 1, 2, 3, go. 10, 9, 8. God is great. Clap, 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 clap. 7, 6, 5. God's alive. Go. No, 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 no. Quick. 4, 3, 2, 1. He's the king of everyone. God's the mighty, mighty Lord of all. Ready for the echo. Last time it's loud. 10, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, 2, 1, 0. Blast off! Whoa, God is great. All right, I think we should pray to our great God now. And I'm going to pray and I'll close my eyes to pray. And you might like to close your eyes too to help you think about what we're saying to God. All right, let's pray. Our Lord and our God, you are great. We praise you. We want to think about you, think about your greatness, and talk about your greatness, and sing about your greatness. We want to remember that your greatness is a forever and ever greatness. Dear Lord, be with those who are hurting and sad and who don't know what is going on. Help them to see you and to know you in your Son, Jesus, and to remember that you are great and you are good. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.